Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31 and 66 through 72. This is the reading of God's Word. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." But Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all were saying the same thing also. Verse 66. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times," and he began to weep. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel that you have given to us. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. Hear your voice, loving voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will pour out your grace upon us, that your word will be preached correctly, and it will be understood by your people correctly. We pray that Jesus and him alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you read the book of Mark from chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ predicts his sufferings and death on the cross three times. And let me read you just one of them. Chapter 10, verse 33 through 34, Jesus said, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." And from chapter 14, we see everything is being fulfilled just as he had said. We know that Jesus came to die. He came to die for you and me, his people. And he's not being captured and killed, even though he did not want that to happen. He came to do just that. Everything is according to God's plan. His death is substitutionary death, meaning he is dying in the place of his people. He is dying instead of his people. He is paying for our sins. The wage of sin is death, and he is dying for his people on the cross. He is receiving God's eternal judgment of hell for our sins. He is receiving God's curse and wrath for us. Without his death and the resurrection, there is no salvation for us. You and I, we are not saved by our good works, because none of us are good. None of us are righteous. We cannot be saved by our works. As fallen sinners, we do not have the ability to do anything that will please our God. Our efforts are futile while it comes to salvation. Our passage today vividly shows us this reality. It paints a portrait of a sinner. It paints a portrait of you and me. Jesus says in verse 27, "You will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." This is from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, which says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, and the sheep may be scattered." And this is about to fulfill. You will all fall away. Everyone, if you read the gospel, everyone forsakes the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to verse 50, everyone indeed forsakes him. And they all left him and fled. Cowardly sinners. And this, if you are very honest about yourself, this is what we are. In verse 29, Peter says, "Even though all may fall away, I will not." He said it with confidence. In Luke chapter 22, we see the same event. And there, Peter says in chapter 22, verse 33 in Luke, "Lord, with you, I am ready to go both to prison and to death. All others may fall away, but I will not. I'm different," Peter says. But to Peter, Jesus says in verse 30, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." But Peter insists. Verse 31, "But Peter kept saying insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And it's not just Peter who says this. According to that verse, it says they all were saying the same thing also. But we read in verse 50, "And they all left him and fled." And from verse 66, we see how Peter begins to deny Jesus Christ, and by the time we read verse 71, Peter even began to curse and swear as he denies Jesus Christ. Peter and the other disciples, they were together with Jesus for 3 years now. And they have learned the ways of the true disciples taught by Jesus himself. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Peter did not learn. And here's a question for you. No, it's not "how about you" kind of question, but here's a question for you. When Peter said to Jesus, When he said this, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. When Peter said this, do you think Peter was sincere? Do you think he really meant what he said? Answer is yes. I mean, whatever he did afterwards, at the time of him saying these things to Jesus, he was sincere. He meant every word he said. The issue here is not whether Peter was sincere or not. He was. The issue here is that the sinners do not have the ability to please God on their own strength. No matter how much we swear, no matter how sincerely we make vows, no matter how much we determine to do something, no matter how much we try, you and I, as sinners, we fail. That's the fact. The sinners, we just do not have the ability to do anything on our own to please God. We are not saying that Peter and the other disciples did not love Jesus. What we are saying here is that they do not have the ability to truly love Jesus on their own. And you and I, we're so familiar with this. We know we cannot trust ourselves. I mean, this is what, January 4th, all the New Year resolutions. How long will you keep those? Chances are you already broken them, right? It's 4th, January 4th. Peter is very sincere when he said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. But in our passage, we see a portrait of sinner. Peter and the other disciples and you and me, we all are cowardly sinners. Are you confident? Do you say, even though all may fall away, yet I will not? And I don't mind you saying that. And please say that. But are you confident as you say it? Are you confident that even when the whole world betrays and denies Jesus, you will not? If your answer is confident yes, you still have not seen your true self through the Word of God. You still have not seen your true, sinful, cowardly, filthy self. We betray, we deny Jesus so many times, even a single day in our thoughts and words and actions. But please, what the Bible is trying to tell you. If I read this passage to you and ask you not to be like Peter. See, I show you what Peter did and says, hey, you guys, don't be like Peter. Go out and don't be like Peter. And you say to yourself, man, Peter is just too weak. He went too far. I will not be like Peter. Then everything is okay. That's all it takes. I tell you, don't be like Peter, and you determine to yourself, I will not be like Peter. Amen and hallelujah, and we go out and everything's okay. Is that what the Bible is trying to tell us? Hey, I'm not against you determining not to sin anymore, but we need to realize how much we need Christ even when we do that. Without Christ, we'll always fail. You know, some people understand Christianity like this. They say things like this. Well, God, I'm sorry. I should have tried harder, but I didn't. I'm very sorry. But God, I promise to you, I will try harder. Amen. Let us analyze that. The problem is that I didn't try harder. Solution is I will try harder. That is not Christianity. Problem is not that you did not try harder, and solution is not that you will try harder. If you understand Christianity like that, then you don't know what gospel is. To follow Jesus is to deny oneself and take up one's cross and following him. And we see verse 54, it says Peter had followed him at a distance. In that verse, are you looking at yourself? I cannot totally deny Christ, but I cannot fully follow him, so follow him at a distance. But Peter loves Jesus. But he is afraid. And you and I, we should understand this. Because we are the same way. He is afraid of people. He is afraid of this world. He does not want to forsake Jesus, but he cannot help himself of being a coward, and he denies him. It's not something that he wants to do, but he does. Just like you and I. This is portrait of a sinner. This is who we are. Now put yourself in this context of this chapter 14 of Mark. It is total darkness. Look, chief priests and the scribes are seeking how to seize and kill Jesus. At the same time, Judas is seeking to betray and sell Jesus. At the same time, Peter denies Jesus, and all the other disciples flee. The Bible is very clear. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is not even one. Paul cries out in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this the body of this death? The answer to that question is obviously our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He died for us. He bore our sins and died on that cross to pay for our sins. He received all the eternal punishment for us. And he has resurrected from the dead for our justification, and now he invites us to participate in his resurrected life of heaven. He has recreated us in his image, made us the citizens of his kingdom, and he himself has lived a perfect life of a true disciple, and he did that for you and for me. He is the true disciple. He truly denied himself and took up his cross. He never denied his Father in heaven. He is the only one who perfectly denied himself and took up his cross. Jesus is the only true disciple. Jesus Christ has lived this perfect life of the true disciple for you and for me. And when we believe that he has done this for us and trust and depend on Jesus Christ, God receives us in Jesus as the true disciples. Not because you truly are, but because of your faith. Because of what Jesus has done for you. We now participate in his life of the true disciple. And it is now our delight to diligently participate in the life of the true disciple. The Lord Jesus, as much as we can, we participate in the life of Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we fail miserably so many times, it is now our delight to imitate our God. It is our delight to live out our heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us, the love that our Lord has demonstrated to us by dying on the cross and living that perfect righteous life. That love compels us to live for his glory, and we do this gladly, even though we fail miserably. But look at what the gospel says. The life of the true disciples, denying ourselves and taking up our crosses, we fail, Peter fails, and the other disciples fail. Everybody fails. But that's not the end of the gospel. There's at least one person who succeeds, and that is Jesus Christ. And the good news is that we, Peter and the other disciples, we are now able to have that success in Jesus Christ. It is through Christ, and it is by Christ, and it is for Christ. Yes, it was a very dark night. Like I said before, the chief priests and the scribes are seeking how to seize and kill Jesus. Judas is seeking to betray and sell Jesus. Peter denies Jesus. All the other disciples flee. It was a dark night in which Jesus was betrayed and denied. But we also see the light of hope shining. Verse 28. Jesus said, but after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Yes, Peter denies, but Jesus does not forsake Peter who has denied him. Jesus loves Peter to the end, to the eternity. Jesus makes Peter repent of his sins using a rooster to crow twice. And in Luke chapter 22, we see the same event. And there too, we see Jesus predicting that Peter would deny him three times. And there too, Peter insists that he would not deny Jesus. But there in verses 31 and 32, we read this. Jesus says to Peter, Simon, 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 behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you out like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brother. The gospel, the good news is that God will not forsake Peter. God will not forsake you and me. Even the sinner, the denied who denied him three times, Jesus will not forsake, and he will pray that Peter's faith will not fail. Do you see it? Do you see what is our hope? It's not that you will tell me you will try harder. Because I cannot trust you. You cannot trust me. But our hope is Jesus Christ. He will make sure you will not fail at the end. Oh yeah, you might fail many times here and there, but at the end, ultimately, you will not fail because of Jesus Christ. He is praying for you that your faith will not fail. And he is working in you. Even though you might not see what's going on, but you have to believe. He's working in you to make you more like Christ, even now. What do you think that this is all about? You're sitting there hearing God's word. You're hearing the gospel. What do you think this is about? It is Jesus working in your life, making you, giving you more faith to make you more like Christ. He's so faithful in his working in you. Jesus Christ, his enduring love for us and his prayer for us, he is our hope. Not our efforts, not our determinations, but his word and his determination. And he determined, even before the foundation of the universe, he determined to make you just like Christ. And we could trust him. Because of him, because of his prayer for you and for me, we will persevere to the end. Now from verse 66, we see Peter denying Jesus. Peter is being interrogated by a servant girl. You also were with Jesus Nazarene. Peter denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are talking about. The servant girl saw Peter again and began once more to say to the bystander, this is one of them. He began again denying him. Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too. But Peter began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you are talking about. Peter, at first, he denies, then he denies his membership, then he denies his relationship with Jesus Christ. But the gospel is not about Peter. We see another person being interrogated. We see that from verse 53, Jesus Christ, before the high priest and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and there he is also being interrogated. Two persons, Peter and Jesus, both are being interrogated. One denies Jesus, but Jesus does not deny his Father. You don't see him being a coward. We know the verdict. Jesus, innocent. Peter, guilty. Jesus gave his life for Peter, but Peter cowardly tries to save his life. Do you see the difference? Jesus innocent, Peter guilty, but at the end, who receives? Who receives the punishment? Jesus on the cross. The good news is that Peter's salvation does not depend on what Peter does, but depends on what Jesus does for him. Do you understand the gospel? Your salvation does not depend on what you do or what you did. It depends on what Jesus has done and what he is doing, even now. The innocent Jesus receives the eternal punishment of hell for you. That is what we are seeing in our passage. In chapter 16 of Mark, we see the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very early on the first day of the week, ladies come to the tomb, but Jesus is not there. An angel who are wearing a white robe says to them, verse 6 and 7, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Yes, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus proves that all that he has done for his people have been received by the Father. The resurrection of Jesus that proves that he has accomplished everything. Yes, after his resurrection, he gathers his disciples again. All our failures are now successes in his ultimate success, his resurrection. All your failures become success in his resurrection. That's what that resurrection means to us. Yes, the eternal life has been accomplished. Yes, heaven has been accomplished. Heaven, the place where there is no failure, has been accomplished for you. Yes, the Son of Heaven has risen and will never set again. Yes, after the resurrection, he meets Peter again in John 21. We see Jesus meeting Peter. There we see Jesus asking Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep." Jesus restores Peter. Then Jesus said to him in John 21 verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But now, when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." And verse 19, "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Do you understand what Jesus is saying to him? "You will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." How to be his disciples? Deny yourself. Well, Peter will deny himself. He will go places where he doesn't want to go. And he will stretch out his hand. Jesus says it's about how he's going to die. In order for us to be his disciples, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Jesus is saying exact same thing to Peter. You will deny yourself and you will die. You will carry your cross and you will follow me. But this is really amazing. Because in chapter 1 of Mark, when Jesus met Peter for the first time, he said to Peter, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, even after Peter denies him 3 times, he restores Peter and he says, you will be my disciple. Jesus' will for Peter from the very beginning, Mark chapter 1, does that change because of Peter's failure? Does that change because Peter denied Jesus 3 times? What Jesus wanted to make Peter, does that plan of Jesus for Peter, does that change because Peter failed? No. And you will fail many times also in your lives. But God's will for you that He had even before the foundation of the universe, that His will for you to make you like Christ, will that will of Christ for you, will that change because you fail? Will it change? Because you sinned this, you did this wrong, or whatever you have done in your life. No. God's will be done. And you must trust Him. You will be like Christ one day. And your job is to trust Him. Yes, Peter fails and fails and fails. Yes. But God will never forsake him. And God uses Peter and perfects Peter until he is perfect. And he is. Right now, Peter is in heaven. And you think he fails in heaven? God's will for Peter is perfected now. And there's nothing in this whole universe can change that. Peter is perfect now. Even with all that failures, he's perfect. Not because he himself was whatever, but because of Jesus. And this is how you will be. As long as you trust Christ and never let him go, as long as you believe in him, this is your story. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you tired? Are you heavy laden? Are you tired from your failures in fighting with sin? Are you tired from your failure in fighting with this world? Are you tired from your failure in fighting with Satan? Are you distressed? Because no matter how many times you promised and determined, you failed. And you just cannot trust yourself anymore. And you see your cowardly and filthy self. Well, the gospel is written for you. Jesus will never forsake you. Even when you sin. He will never leave you. Even when you sin. And Jesus is praying for you. He lived that perfect life of discipleship for you. And you must believe in him. and trust Him. Yes, I know you will fail many times and fail again and again, and I will too. But see Jesus Christ who has succeeded for you. He has invited you to participate in His eternal success. Your work is to believe and trust Christ. He will make you like Him. At the end, you and I will stand before Him and we will be like Him. Ultimately, because of His prayers and His work, you and I will one day, and from that day on, you and I will never deny Him and never leave Him and never fail. Your forever life in heaven is without failure. Do you understand? Look at, with your eyes of faith, look at Peter in heaven. But focus is not on Peter. I want you to focus what Jesus has accomplished for Peter. And when you see what Jesus has done for Peter, remember, He is doing the same thing for you. Do you remember what Peter promised? Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Do you remember what he promised? By Jesus' word, he, Peter, became someone who is now able to keep that promise. Did you ever say to Jesus, I will die before I deny you? That no matter what happens, I will be faithful to you. By Jesus, what he has done for you, you have become a person forever in heaven who will be able to keep that promise. This is the gospel. This is what happened to us. Not by our effort, but Jesus' work in us. Brothers and sisters, never lose hope. No matter how dark it seems. Never lose hope. Trust Jesus and hope in Him. Because Jesus is even now praying for you. And he promised that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Now, go out with true joy. And one day, you will be like Christ. And whoever has this hope in Christ, God promised, he will purify himself. You will do your best to love him. Again, because of Jesus' work in you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. You are amazing. The gospel is truly amazing. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We love you because you have loved us first. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.